Hey, everyone. Shh. Okay, good morning, everyone. First, I want to thank our generous sponsors for this week, Lenny and Chana Grunstein, in commemoration. I get louder as I go on. In commemoration of the yahrzeit of his brother, Harry Grunstein, Svi Meir ben Moshe Yonatan, the learning should be Leilei Nishmaso, should be an aliyah for his neshama. Again, anyone who wants a sponsor, and maybe we'll have coffee next week. Who knows? Now that we have sponsorships coming in. Okay, as promised, we're continuing on with our studies of Kabbalah Shabbos. I know for me personally, this Shabbos was transformed because of my better understanding of Lechun Aranana, the obligation that we have to feel Hakaras HaTov, that the whole point of Shabbos is a sense of gratitude, that during the week, if you notice the davening, you'll notice that it's all the angels who are praising Hashem. And on Shabbos, we take the focus away from the angels and we put the focus on ourselves. That's some of the changes that we make, especially after Baruch Hu on Shabbos morning. You notice we say something different on the weekday where we say HaMeir La'aretz. And on Shabbos, part of the difference is that we specifically take the focus a little bit away from the angels and focus a little bit more on our praise and our sense of gratitude to Hashem. That was Tehillim Tzadi Hei. That was 95 that we learned last week. This week is entirely different.
Which one is it?
Chapter 96, Tzadi Vav. It's the next one in the list. We're going in order now. Okay? And if you remember last week, one of the somber components of the chapter of Tehillim was the notion that Hashem basically said, Al takshu levavchem, stop being stiff-necked, stop being so stubborn, because, right, you see all these miracles that I'm performing for you, and yet, what do? You complain, right? Arba'im Shana, 40 years in the desert. Akupador, I fought with you guys. And it ended on a little bit of a somber note. We tried to pick it up and to redeem that chapter of Tehillim and to show how it can be inspiring for us. But it really had like an undertone of sadness because it shows that despite the fact that Hashem did so much for us, we continually blow the experience. Tzadi Vav 96 is an entirely different chapter of Tehillim. This is good, bliss, joyous, happiness from start to end, and has a very different tone to some of the others that we have studied over this year. So let's start, and immediately you'll notice one word that comes up over and over again. Shir, the notion of song, right? Shiru LaHashem, Shir Chadash, Shiru LaAdonai Kol Aretz. So we sing to Hashem a Shir Chadash, and Shiru LaAdonai Kol Aretz. Not just us, but we have the entire world singing alongside with us. Now, anytime you see the word Shir Chadash in classic commentaries, what you'll notice is that they all refer it to La'asid Lavo, that this is for the end of days, a universal, that there will come a time when universally everyone will be singing these songs of Hashem. We will see this in the Seder, on the Seder night. When we break Hallel up into two parts, you'll notice constant references to that notion of Shir Chadasha, that futuristic, universal singing of praise to Hashem. And that, according to most Meforshim, Rashi and the Radak, etc., is what we're talking about here. This is talking about the times of Mashiach. It's talking about a day and age when everyone comes to recognize the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malbim has a little bit of a different take on this. Because the Malbim says, if there's a Shira Chadasha, if there's a new song, then what must there also be? An old song. So what's the old song? So the Malbim points out, Kedarko Bakodesh, as I would imagine by now you're seeing certain themes in the way the Malbim reads Prakim of Tehillim, but the Malbim identifies that there are two components to how Hashem runs the world. Component number one is Hashem is the Borei Olam. Hashem created the universe. The other component is that Hashem didn't just create the universe, but he is intimately involved in a continuous fashion in the universe. As we say in davening, HaMechadesh B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamid. Right? Hashem didn't just create it and extract himself, but Hashem is continuously involved in the creation of the world. He compares it, let's say, to a watchmaker. So a watchmaker, right, I make the watch, I spend years making it. Well, I guess they spent years making the Apple Watch also, right? Different kind of watchmaker, right? But you spent years making the watch, and then they made the watch, and you give it to the client, and the client has it. The watchmaker really has very little to do with it afterwards. So he says, that's the Shir Yashan. The old song is Ha'akum Hayu Mishorim Lo Shir Yashan. The non-Jews of the world sing an old, a tired out song. And that's a song that says that Hashem created the universe and then extracted himself. In other words, they'll agree that God created, that the Big Bang, that this notion that everything worked out as perfectly, that the human biology and that the world and the universe works in such concert with one another. It's implausible that that just happened because gases bumped into each other, right? So they'll agree that there's a Borei Olam. They'll agree that there's a creator of the universe. But what they struggle with, and as we spoke about in previous weeks, there's a little bit of us that struggles with it as well, is that Hashem didn't just create it, but he's intimately involved. That, says the Malbim, is a Shir Chadash. Shir Chadash isn't just a future song. It's a new, unique song, a novel song that the Jewish people introduced into the world. And so says the Malbim, Ve'atem, speaking to us, the Jews, Tashiru lo Shir Chadash. We sing this new song to Hashem. Ki mechadesh b'chol yom tamid ma'asei breishit. Because Hashem is renewing the world every single day. Okay? And that's how he differentiates between a Shir Yashan and a Shir Chadash. It's not just, we're waiting for the future. The Malbim says, no, this is very relevant for us every single Shabbos, every single day, when we say this Perek of Tehillim, because we're reminding ourselves of the basic tenet of our Emunah, the basic tenet of our faith, which is, again, that Hashem didn't just create the world and then pull himself back, but Hashem is intimately involved. That notion really serves as the backdrop to this entire chapter of Tehillim. That awareness of that duality of Hashem, one as a creator and one as creating, right? That those two components we'll see really serves as the entire backdrop of this Perek of Tehillim. So Shir Aloch, Shir Chadash, we come, we're joyous, we're happy, we're excited, we're singing a song to Hashem because we recognize that he's relevant to our lives, we recognize that he's present in our lives. Shir Aladonai Kol Aretz. And this is going to be a universal song. Everyone is going to come around to that acknowledgement. Pasuk Bet. Shir Aladonai Baruch Hu Shmo. We sing to Hashem. We bless his name. As we've spoken about in the past, Hashem's name, right? We can't relate to Hashem. And so Hashem gives us names through which we can relate to him. It's why Hashem has so many names. Because we relate to Hashem differently at different times in our lives. So we need different names to connect to. Yudke Vavke, Elohim, Melech, Av. These are all different names, right? King, Father, different names of Hashem, Shakai. These are all different names of Hashem, but Hashem is only one person. He gives us different names through which we're able to understand him and we're able to communicate and connect with him. So some days, I will feel God more as a Melech. Some days I'll feel God more as an Av. Some days as a king, some days as a father. Some points of davening, you want Yudke Vavke, which is a certain, right? In some days it'll be Elohim. One is a more close relationship with Hashem, one is a more distant relationship with Hashem. So Baruch Hu Shmo, that's how we connect to Hashem, is through his name. Basru miyom liyom yeshuaso. What does that mean? Livaser. What does that mean? So we spread the news, miyom liyom yeshuaso. What is miyom liyom yeshuaso? Day to day, every day, we have to be doing this. We have to be singing the salvation of Hashem every single day. We do not wait. The Malbim says this fits my thesis directly. He says, she yeshuaso mitchadesh bechol yom. You know why you and I sing the praise of Hashem every single day? For numerous reasons, but it's no guarantee that you and I woke up this morning. It's no guarantee that our bodies are functioning properly this morning. It's no guarantee, despite the fact that we assume it's for granted, that the sun rises and the sun sets and that the trees are here and that there isn't a tsunami that comes and wipes us off the face of the earth, God forbid, right? These are all things that we take for granted, but says the Malbim, sheyeshuaso mitchadesh b'chol yom. Ki mechadesh b'chol yom ma'isa breishis, because Hashem recreates the world every single day, Umatzmiach Yeshuos Chadoshos Bechol Yom. And he's creating Yeshua. Hashem creates salvation every single day. And he continues on with that theme, but that's how the Malbim understands it. So Basru Miyom Liyom Yeshuaso means every single day. Out of recognition that Hashem creates the world anew, that Hashem is giving us gifts and blessings every single day. So you and I have to make sure that we sing songs to Hashem every single day. We don't just wait until the end of our lives. We don't just wait until the Messianic era. No, every single day we have that obligation to recognize the gifts, to recognize the blessings, and to sing songs of blessings to Hashem. Rav Hirsch understands it a little bit different. Rav Hirsch says, you know why you and I sing a different song to Hashem every single day? Right? My song yesterday couldn't cover me for today. Wouldn't that be a lot more convenient? You daven once on Shabbos, you say it with a lot of kavana, and it covers you for the week. Wouldn't that be a lot easier? Like put your tefillos in escrow, right? And when Hashem needed it, he could take it out of escrow. Wouldn't that be a lot easier? So for those of you who are here at Biras the Shabbos, so Rav Zinger was asked that question. Rav Zinger, he writes this magnificent sefer on tefillah. They just translated into English. I highly, highly recommend it. So someone asked him, I think it was Shabbos afternoon. Someone said, if davening's the same every single day, isn't that what makes it so challenging? Every single day we're saying the same words. It becomes monotonous, mechanical. We do it by rote. So that's the inherent challenge to davening. And Rav Zinger, he's such a tzaddik, he like literally didn't even understand the question. He said, yeah, the words might be the same, but you're a different person. Right? I'm not the same person I was yesterday. And I'm not the same person I was 2 days ago. And I'm not the same person I'm going to be tomorrow. So even though the words on the page are the exact same, my relationship to the words are different. Rav Volbi compares it to being on a train. Right? If you're on a train and you're going through the countryside or whatever, I was just in Israel. So they have this new train that goes from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim. It's unbelievable. I landed at 7 o'clock. The train was 7:29. I was in the apartment in Yerushalayim by 8 o'clock. 20 minutes. Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim, it was, I think, $4.70. I mean, it was unbelievable, right? No more sitting in traffic for 3 hours. It was really a phenomenal experience. So anyway, so you're on a train, right? And one of the things you like to do, especially I'm like a sentimental kind of guy. So when I get to Israel, so like I still get those goosebumps. I like being there, the smell, the sights. So I like watching. The problem is the train goes so fast, right? They miss a lot of it, but which is also mussar about life, right? But my perspective on the countryside changed every millisecond. Not because the countryside changed, but because I was moving, right? I was not in one place 1 minute to the next. And so the scenery was the same, but my perspective on the scenery changed because I'm on a train. I'm moving forward. Says Rav Volbi, that's exactly tefillah for us, right? The world stays the same. The siddur is the same. The tehillim are the same. The words don't change. But you and I are on the elevator of life. We're on a train. Sometimes we go forward. Sometimes we go backwards, right? But we're always on a train. So our relationship, our perspective to those tehillim, to the siddur, is going to be different one day to the other. Some days I might be in a better mood. Some days I'm in a worse mood. Some days I feel closer to Hashem. Some days I feel more distant from Hashem. Some days I'm able to see and appreciate. Sometimes it's a little more cloudy and murky for me, right? I change. And so therefore my relationship with the sitter changes. I would imagine that many of you in this room have had a very similar experience when you daven. You can literally some days say a parak tehillim that you've said 100,000 times in your life and like one line jumps out of you. It happens to me all the time. One line jumps out of me. And I say to myself, I understand, I've said this 100 times. Why today did that line? Because where I was emotionally, where I was spiritually, that line connected with me today. And that's what I always try to show you with the Tehillim as well. Right? Sometimes I say a lot of ideas, a lot of commentaries in the Perek Tehillim, and it might be overwhelming. But my goal is that if one idea sticks with you and one, take it. Maybe it's Radak this week, it'll be Malbim that week. Maybe Pasuk Beis doesn't resonate with you as much, but Pasuk Dala did, right? That's Tehillim. Tehillim are real. Davening is real. It's not just supposed to be words. It's supposed to come alive inside of us, and we're supposed to find that which to connect us. So that's how Rav Hirsch explains, Basru Miyom, Liyom Yeshuaso. Why do we sing Hashem's praises every day? Not like the Malbim says that because Hashem's recreating the world every day. It's because you and I are different every single day. We have something new to sing every single day. And if we don't, then we are dead while alive. Right? In other words, our job is to find something new to sing about every single day, and we'll come back to that in a little bit. So that's Basra Miyomi Yomishua. So Pasuk Gimel, and I realized that the sheet I gave you does not have the verses numbered, but as you can surmise, each line is a different pasuk. So we are on the third line. Sapru Vagoyim Kivodo, the nations of the world tell about his kavod, about his honor. Bechol Hamim Niflaosav, in his Niflaos, his miracles, his wondrous activities, Bechol Hamim, amongst all of the Amim. The Malbim points out that you'll notice there are two different words here to refer to the nations of the world. One is Goyim, and one is Amim. Says the Malbim, these are two different descriptions. Shehagoyim hapchusim lo yadu me'ashem klal. The word Goyim, says the Malbim, are people of the world that don't recognize God at all. Veha'amim, in Amim, are those who believe that God created the world but don't believe that God continues to be involved in the world. And that's why it's Sapru Vagoyim Kivodo. In other words, those who didn't believe in God at all of a sudden they're telling his kavod. They realize the majesty of Hashem. Bechol Amim Niflosav. What are Niflos? What are the wonderments of Hashem? The miracles. Right? So those who believe that Hashem created the world and then extracted himself, all of a sudden they're looking around and they're saying, whoa, I never realized any of this existed. Ki gadol Hashem u'mehulal me'od, because Hashem is great and he is mehulal, he is praiseworthy. Norahu al kol Elohim, he is, yeah, norah is like a, it's not fear, it's like awe. He is awesome amongst all of the other Elohim. And you'll notice that this is an idea that we're going to develop again in the future, but this notion of Hashem versus the other, right? So here you have, for example, in Pasuk Dalet, right? Norahu al kol Elohim. Notice there are other forces in the world, but God is above all of them. Kikol, Pasuk 5, Kikol Elohei Amim Elilim Vadonai Shemayim Asa. Because all of the gods of the world are Elilim. What's Elil? In other words, futile. It's nothing, right? It's nothingness. Vashem Shemayim Asa. And Hashem created the heavens and the earth. So, says the Radak, what are we talking about here? That all the nations worship the sun, the moon, and the stars, but what they don't realize is that there's someone who created all of those. Right? Why would you worship the middleman when you can worship the real deal? So the Radak points out that this is misplaced worship. Ki kol Elohei Amim Elilim. They're worshiping these Elohei Amim, but they're Elilim, they're nothing, they're futile. Why? Because Hashem Shamay Masa. Because Hashem really created everything. The Malbim points out, similarly, right, that all of nature, while it looks so amazing, let's take the sun for a second. Would we all agree that the sun is amazing? Yes. We would agree the sun's amazing, right? Without the sun, it would be a bad situation for all of us, okay? The sun's consistency is amazing. It rises, it sets. It's amazing, right? But says the Malbim, no matter how beautiful the sun is, it's fixed. Right? The sun is limited within the structure of nature. The sun can't physically do anything outside of its natural capacity. Hashem has the ability to override nature. So that's what the Malbim points out, right? Ki kol ha'amim elim. In other words, yeah, there might be elements of the world that are wondrous. The sun, the moon, the stars, right? And they're things that make us look at it and say, that's amazing. But those are fixed. Those are boxed in by the laws of nature. There's something, says the Malbim, that exceeds, that supersedes nature. And that's Hashem. So why would you want something that's fixed when you could have something that is constantly expanding? Okay? That's a no-brainer. I'm not a money guy, but if you gave me that in finances, I would understand that. Okay? So, Kikol Elohei Amim Elim, Baronai Shamay Masa, Hod Vahadar Lefanav, Oz Vitiferet B'mikdasho. Again, this majesty, this wonderment, right? The Radak says Hod Vahadar is the Kochavim, actually. Right? Hod Vahadar Lefanav. Even all of these celestial beings, Lefanav, they're before Hashem, Oz Vitiferet B'mikdasho. In other words, they're all only great in respect to Hashem's greatness. And now we come to Pasuk Zayin. Havu l'Adonai mishpechot amim. The word havu means to bring, right? Bring to Hashem the families of the world. But the word bring is an active word, right? Havu means that you have to make a contribution. So when we say havu l'Adonai mishpechot amim, we're not just saying walk with your feet. We're saying, like, what is your unique contribution that's going to tell the world Hashem's story? Right? Havu l'Adonai mishpechot amim. Come to Hashem, families of the world. Havu l'Adonai kavod v'oz. Bring to Hashem great honor and glory. And say the Meforshim, what havu there means is like, what are you and I doing to ensure that the nations of the world, to ensure that everyone around us really believes and knows about the miraculous nature of Hashem, about how wonderful Hashem is. What are we doing to tell the world Hashem's unique story? That's Havu L'Hashem. In other words, we have a part in this process. It's not just that Hashem's glory is going to happen, poof, out of the sky. But we have to come. Havu L'Hashem. What is our contribution that we are going to make to the world that tells Hashem's story? This becomes even stronger in Pasuk Chet, Pasuk 8. Havu l'Adonai kavod shemo. Again, bring to Hashem honor to His name. Se'u mincha uba'o l'chatzrosav. Lift up your mincha. Mincha is a korban. Uba'o l'chatzrosav, and come into His courtyard. So, at first glance, what are we talking about here? Right, one would assume that if we're talking about the end of days, so this is reference to the Beis HaMikdash, right? That we should bring korbanos to the Beis HaMikdash as a sign of celebration of Hashem. And in fact, we know that, right? We know that from Sukkot, for example, that there were korbanos, there were sacrifices that were brought by not just Jews, but by all the nations of the world, which testified to Hashem's greatness. Malbim drops like a bomb on this pasuk. It's amazing. Says the Malbim, what is uba'u l'chatzrosav? In other words, again, we're supposed to bring something of ourselves and come into the courtyard. Says the Malbim, ki'ilu ha'olam kulo hu chatzer ha'melech. Let me read that again and then I'm going to translate. Ki'ilu ha'olam kulo. It's as if the entire world, hu chatzer ha'melech, is the courtyard of the king. Which means, right, think about it. Se'u mincha uba'u l'chatzrosav, if I were reading it without the Malbim, I would have said that when the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt, so I'm going to bring a korban, and my korban is going to testify about the greatness of Hashem, and it's going to tell His story. That's going to bring honor to Hashem. Says the Malbim, don't forget, the Malbim's whole thesis here is we're not waiting until the end of days. This is every single day we're singing the praise of Hashem. So where do we bring the korban? Uba'u l'chatzrosav, what is the chatzer? Says the Malbim, the entire world is the chatzer of Hashem. The entire world, right? Everywhere you and I go is the chatzer, is the courtyard of Hashem. We go to the gym, it's the courtyard of Hashem. We go to the supermarket, it's the courtyard of Hashem. We go to the airport, it's the courtyard of Hashem. You're at a baseball stadium, it's the courtyard of Hashem. And if that's the case, then se'u mincha uba'u l'chatzrosav means that every single place we are in this world, we have the ability to bring glory to Hashem. That's amazing, right? Amazing reading of the Psukim. So when the Pasuk says, Havu l'Hashem, Havu l'Hashem, Havu l'Hashem kavod shmo, bring to Hashem the great kavod in His chatzer, this is Hashem's playground. This is Hashem's courtyard. Every single place you and I go has the capacity, has the potential to be Havu l'Hashem kavod shmo. You and I can bring honor to Hashem anywhere we go. By the way we act, by the way we dress, by the way we behave, by the way we speak. In fact, my wife yelled at me yesterday. I was at a store yesterday, and she wasn't there, but I told her about it afterwards, and she was not happy with my behavior. So I was purchasing something. I'm going to tip my hat, so I won't say the name. But where it was $1.50 for one. Okay, we're going to do a little math here. $7.50 for a half dozen, which means you're discounted, okay? So I said to myself, I wanted eight, okay? Now, if you do eight by ones, what does the math come out to? Eight times 150 is, I'll help you, it's $12, okay? But if you do 8 kag with the half dozen as 750, and then 2 on top of that, it comes out to 1050. So I did the math quickly in my head. I said, great, I want 8. I get the bill, it's $12. So I said, no, I said, I want 8 bagels, not 9. No, I just gave it away a little bit, right? I said, I want 8, not 9. So he said, no, you didn't order the half dozen. You ordered 8 of them. So I said, okay, we could play a game right now. I can return my 8 bagels. I can buy a half dozen bagels from you. And then after you issue that charge, I'll buy another 2. Or you can acknowledge that my math is a little more correct here, and you can give me a 9th bagel. So anyways, he ended up giving me a 9th bagel. He was very nice about it. But my wife yelled at me. She's like, what a chil Hashem. You're sitting in the store, and you're doing that. I said, no, I was so nice about it. I was smiling as I was doing it. But anyways, obviously we have to be careful about the way we speak and the way we conduct ourselves. Always a recognition that we are a representation of Hashem in the way we behave, in the way we act, in the way that we speak. We are being judged, and it's not just us that's being judged, but it's a relationship with Hashem that's being judged. For those who are at my Tuesday night class where I spoke about Rabbi Eliezer Silver, it's online if you're not. So I told the story of Rabbi Eliezer Silver's interaction with Simon Wiesenthal. And I spoke about how beautiful it was that Rabbi Silver brought Simon Wiesenthal back. But what I kind of skipped over was how sad it was why Simon Wiesenthal became so anti-religion. And that's because when he was in Mathausen, I believe, so there was a Jew who came who had a sitter. And everyone was clamoring to get the sitter. A sitter, they wanted to be able to daven. They wanted some connection to Judaism, some connection to religion. And this guy bartered his sitter for food. Right? And Simon Wiesenthal looked at that and said, it's so disgusting. Right here you have people starving to death. And they're not just starving because they're actually starving. They're starving religiously. All they wanted was a little access to a sitter. And you're going to use that to literally take food away from starving people? He said, any Jew that can do that, I don't want a part of it. Right? So Rabbi Silver brought him back a little bit and basically encouraged him. Jones was focused on that. Focus on the Jews that were so spiritually motivated and whatever. Right? But it just goes to show you that when we act in a way that is, let's just say, not a Kiddush Hashem, so it impacts people, right? How many stories, if I had a dime for every story that someone comes through Rabbi Brody's doors who tells us that 50 years ago they used to be religious, but they came to Shul on Yom Narayim, they didn't have a ticket, and they were thrown out, right? But the rabbi yelled at them, right? So we have to be very careful. And that, says the Malbim, is exactly what we're talking about. Su mincha u'balu chatzrosav. Let me repeat these words. Kilo ha'olam kulo chatzar melech. The entire world is the courtyard of Hashem. And that means the entire world is a place where we can havu l'Hashem kavod shemo. We can bring great honor to Hashem. Let's finish up, and then I want to develop a theme. Yishtachavu l'Hashem behadras kodesh chilu mipanav kol arts. Again, we're going to bow down to Hashem. The entire world is going to tremble before Him. Imru v'agoyim, Hashem malach, the nations of the world are going to finally say, God has reigned. Avtikon tevel baltimot, the world is established. In other words, nature is set. The world's not going to crumble. Hashem established it properly. Yadin amim b'meisharim. Yismichu ha-shamayim v'sagel ha-aretz yiram hayamim la'od. The heavens are going to rejoice. The earth is going to rejoice. The Malbim points out that simcha and gil are two different words. Yiram hayam umlao, the waters are going to be joyous. Yalos sadai v'chol ashebo, even the fields are going to be rejoicing. Az yiran nukol atzayar, and the forests are going to rejoice as well. Radak points out hakol derech mashal, right? These are all just categories, which is basically a nice way of saying the entire world is going to rejoice, right? The fields, the far, like all of Hashem's creation is going to rejoice, that it's the recognition, it's not them, but it's their creator. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Lifnei Hashem Kiva, Kiva Lishbot Haaretz, why are they going to rejoice? Lifnei Hashem Kiva, Kiva Lishbot Haaretz, Yishbot Tevel Betzedek, Ve'ami B'munaso. The Malbim points out that Lifnei Hashem is said twice. Lifnei Hashem Kiva, Kiva. So why the twice, he says? He says because once is the recognition of nature, and the other is the recognition that Hashem supersedes nature. Other Meforshim point out, I believe it was Refersh, that what is the rejoicing predicated on? Lifnei Hashem. Right? It's that feeling of being before Hashem, which gives us the ultimate simcha. Right? Joy, right? Think about the Kohen Gadol. The ultimate happiness in Judaism is when the Kohen Gadol is Lifnei Hashem. Rabbi Soloveitchik develops that theme of being Lifnei Hashem, of that feeling of the proximity to Hashem as the source of joy, of true joy in Judaism. Happiness isn't in material things. Happiness isn't in how much we accumulate. But happiness is in that sense of being Lifnei Hashem. So this Perek Tehillim is somewhat simple in many regards. And if you had to summarize it, you would summarize it as shir, as singing song. At singing song at the recognition that Hashem didn't just create the world, but that Hashem remains actively involved in the world. And the more that we recognize that, the more that we appreciate that, so we're just going to sing. What is shir, though? That's what I want to spend the next few minutes talking about. Right, this notion of shir, which appears countless times in this Perek Tehillim, and clearly serves as the theme behind it. So I want to share with you a Gemara, and the Gemara is in Masechet Sanhedrin. Well, the Gemara says, this is 95. Sorry, 96. 96. The Gemara says the following. Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasos Chizkiah Mashiach. Hashem wants to make Chizkiah the king, Mashiach. V'Sancheiriv Gog Umagog. And Sancheiriv is going to be Gog Umagog. Amra Midas Adin Livnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the attribute of justice comes before Hashem and says, Ribono Shalola, Master of the Universe. Uma David HaMelech Yisrael Shamra Kama Shiros Vishishbachos. Lo Asiso Mashiach. David HaMelech, who sang countless songs to you, namely Tehillim, and you did not make him Mashiach. Chizkiyahu. She Asita Lo Kolana Nisima Lalu. Chizkiyahu, on behalf of whom you had performed many miracles. Velo Amar Shir Lefanecha. He never once sang praise before you. Ta'aseh Mashiach. You're going to make him Mashiach? That's the argument that Midas Hadin, that the attribute of justice, says before Hashem. How can you make Chizkiyahu Mashiach? David HaMelech, who sang infinite songs to you, and you didn't make him Mashiach. Chizkiyahu, you performed countless miracles for, never once sang song to you. So what's the obvious question? Right, what's the obvious question? How could Chizkiyahu HaMelech, if Hashem had performed so many miracles for him, how could Chizkiyahu HaMelech not sung Shira to Hashem? Right, how is that possible? Says the Sfas Emes the following. Let me find the line that I should have looked. Right. What does it mean? Says the Sfas Emes. He quotes the Gemara. And then he says, how doesn't Chizkiyahu, who saw so many miracles, again, I don't want to get in the whole story, he was saved, he was very ill, right? So how wasn't he able to see the miracles of Hashem? Says the Sfas Emes in Parshas Bishalach, ki haya barer etzlo hashkachas Hashem yisbarach, ad shelo nispael al yidei hanes. Shelo nispael al yidei hanes. What does that mean? Nitpael, nispael. He was not moved. He was not inspired, right? Because of Hashem's miracles. Chizkiyahu saw the miracles, but he was not excited by the miracles. He was not spiritually moved by the miracles. Let me read for you an excerpt from a sermon by Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb. This was on Pesach in 1970, April 25th, 1970, where he writes the following. He quotes our Gemara about Chizkiyahu, and then he says, does the Talmud really want to tell us that only opera stars or chazanim can become Mashiach? Right now, it's only people that sing songs to Hashem can become Mashiach. Does the inability to keep a tune or the ignorance of music disqualify one as a potential Mashiach? Right? Am I disqualified because the windows here aren't hurricane-proof enough to tolerate my singing, right? What can this mean? He quotes the Sfas Emes, answers in a few words that yield us a most significant insight. Shelo nispael al hanes. Chizkiyahu was disqualified because he was not excited. He was not overwhelmed, enthused by the miracles around him. What the Sfas Emes is telling us is that Shira, right? Again, that's our key word here, right? Chizkiyahu didn't sing Shira. So what Shira? What song? Says the Sfas Emes that Shira results from a sense of wonder, from an awareness of the unexpected, from a sensitivity to the presence of a miracle and the obligation to respond. Shira, real song, comes from this sense of amazement at the world around you. That when you become excited, when you look at the world, your natural reaction has to be to sing Shira. Right? He says, from an awareness of the unexpected. In other words, God doesn't owe me anything, and yet he created this magnificent world. I have to sing to Hashem. Right? God doesn't owe me anything, and yet my body continues to function properly. Wow. I'm excited. I'm overwhelmed. I'm enthusiastic by the miracles around me. From Aristotle, who declared wonder to the beginning of knowledge, to Professor Heschel, who calls for radical amazement. Men of sensitivity and intellect have known that without hispa'alut, without wonder or amazement, life is a bore. Men are blind and ignorant, and hence are irresponsible. A childlike sense of wonder makes life an adventure instead of a grind, and makes of the world a mystery instead of old hat. With it, one sings. Without it, one remains unredeemed. What magnificent words. Think about the contrast of Shir Yashan and Shir Chadash, right? The old, tired song. Says the Rav, says Dr. Land, if you're not constantly finding the wonder and the amazement at the world around you, the world becomes a bore, right? It becomes a grind. Our job every single morning, HaMechadesh B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamid, right? Basru miyom liyom ishuaso. Our job every single morning is to wake up and to be reminded of how amazing God's world is. And if we have that sense, and the world doesn't become boring, the world continues to be amazing, and I continue to be inspired by new things in the world. You notice the flowers, and you notice the trees, and you notice the wind, and you notice the sun, right? You have to open your eyes sometimes to see it. Chizkiyahu's fault was not that the miracles didn't happen to him, but Shalom Nispa'el Alanes. He was not excited. He didn't feel that wonder in that miracle. That's our ultimate job. The Shlach HaKadosh writes this explicitly when he says that we have a tactic to accomplish this every single day. And that is the obligation the Gemara tells us to say 100 brachos every single day. Right? The Gemara tells us that we have to say 100 blessings a day. And the Gemara says, how do we know it? Right? From the Pasuk, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Meimach, what does Hashem want of us? The Gemara says, don't read it Ma, but read it Meya. Read it Hashem. Says the Shla, nice try. Right? I'm smarter than that. Ma, Meya. No. Says the Shla, it's so simple. The word Ma, we translate to mean what? Right? What does Hashem want of me? But the word Ma can mean something else, and he proves it from countless psukim. The word ma cannot just mean what, but it can mean like what? Like wow. As in ma rabu masecha Hashem. We don't say what great are your creations Hashem. What is ma rabu masecha Hashem? How would you translate that? How great, like wow. Right? So says the Shla, that's how you read it. Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Meimach. Hashem, it's not what does Hashem want from us. Hashem wants us to feel that sense of ma. Like, wow, what is this world? How amazing this world is. And so every single time you and I say a bracha 100 times a day, it's supposed to remind us of how amazing this world is. And so when I say, Hashem, thank you for this apple, right? I'm not just saying thank you for this apple. I'm saying, Hashem, you didn't just create an apple, but the color, the taste, the smell. You gave me something that is pleasurable to all of my senses. As I've spoken about in the past, my cup of coffee in the morning, right? It's the smell that is so intoxicating. Think about when you go to the mall, which for me is like a root canal, but when you go to the mall, because someone in your family likes to go to the mall and you're a team player, right? So you and I both know the reason why you want the donuts and the cookies aren't because you're hungry. You want it because of the smell, right? In other words, things connect to our senses, and that gives us that desire, that drive to connect to it. That's what Hashem wants us out of this world. Hashem wants us to look at this world and to not become bored by it, and to not become tired of it. When we say in this Perek Tehillim, Basru, Miyom, Liyom, Yeshua, so that every single day we should sing this Shir Chadash, it's because every single day we feel that sense of wonderment, that sense of excitement. Rabbi Soloveitchik talks about this when he talks about seeing the ocean for the very first time, something that you and I take for granted. In fact, we just had a rabbinic conference here. Rabbis around the country, YU hosts a Yarchikal here every single year. So there was a rabbi here from the Midwestern states, let's say, who's many, many miles from water. So he said, Phil, tell me the fastest way to get to water. I need to see ocean. Right? So we take it for granted. So accessible to us. Rabbi Soloveitchik writes the following. He says, I remember that the water was blue, deeply blue. From afar, it looked like a blue forest. It resembled the aboriginal forest near Prujana, where I was born. When I came close and realized that it was the Baltic Sea, I was overwhelmed by its beauty. Spontaneously, I began to recite Tehillim. Here he's talking about Tehillim 104, right? It was a religious reaction to viewing the majesty of God's creation. When I recited the blessing upon the sea, I did so with emotion and feeling. I deeply experienced the words of the benediction, blessed be who brought creation. Not all blessings I recite are said with such concentration. It was more than simply a blessing. It was an encounter with the Creator. I felt the divine presence was hidden in the darkness and vastness of the sea. The experience was unique and unforgettable. The blessing welled up inside of me. Since then, I've seen the ocean many times. I still recite the benediction if 30 days have elapsed since I last saw it. Nevertheless, since the first time, it has become a routine blessing. Isn't that the story of our lives? Right? We see something for the first time. Think about it. The Rav saw the ocean for the first time, and he was overwhelmed. The words are amazing, right? He said it was an encounter with the Creator. But you and I are so used to it. We're used to the sun rising, the sun setting. We're used to the beauty around us. We're used to seeing the ocean. We're used to the sun, the moon, right? We're used to all of it. And so it stops becoming amazing for us. And so we wake up in the morning and we feel that exhaustion, that tired, that boredom in the world. Our job is basru miyom liyom yishuaso. Our job is to wake up every single morning and to feel that sense of excitement, to feel that sense of wonder, to feel that childlike enthusiasm to the world around us. Think about your grandchildren or great-grandchildren or your children. Think about the first time they experience something. It's amazing. Their eyes like open wide and they're very focused and they're excited by it. That's how you and I have to be, says the Sfas Emes, says the Gemara, every single day when we open our eyes. When we say, Mo da'ani lefanecha, we're not just thinking, Hashem, give me another day. No. Hashem, you gave me this world. That's amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for giving me this gift. I want to share with you one last article. It's from Ish.com, and it's written by Professor Stephen Barron. He writes the following. He has MS, multiple sclerosis. And he writes the following. Even those suffering from multiple sclerosis fall into the trap of taking things for granted. This morning I sat outside for half an hour. What a joy. Sitting outside was a particular treat for me, since as someone who's quadriplegic and hence not able to move, I don't have the chance of getting out very much. Being an outdoors person, though, this was especially hard for me. Just seeing people drive up and down the street made me think how very much we take for granted. My fellow MS sufferers know this all too well. We're about the last people who need to be reminded about not taking things for granted. We've watched helplessly as we have lost one of our physical abilities after another. How many times have we said, I used to be able to do that, referring to something that we used to do without a second thought? Whether or not we can put the past behind us determines if we have an eye to the future of the past, that is, whether we're ready to face tomorrow. ... Every MS sufferer can testify that adapting to changes in our condition is a constant in our lives. Then, there are those things that even MS sufferers take for granted, started from the most basic thing. Don't we take it for granted that the sun will come up tomorrow morning? Have you ever stopped to wonder why? Once you've thought about it, have you ever considered giving thanks for that? Don't we all assume that we'll wake up tomorrow morning? Just ask anyone in a hospital or a nursing home about waking up tomorrow. Isn't assuming we'll wake up tomorrow just a little bit presumptuous of us? After all, who are we to warrant such a gift? A little humility is in order. Similarly, for several years when I heard of a car accident or a random shooting, I wondered to myself, why them and not me? What did I do to deserve being spared just another day? Several years ago, my rabbi said that I should be saying 100 blessings a day. At the time, I thought he was crazy. Sure, I said, a blessing before eating or drinking, but 100 a day? That's ridiculous. Today, I ask myself, is that all? That doesn't even begin to cover it. If we thought about it for even a second, we would realize that there are thousands, if not millions, of things that you and I should be thankful for, from everything for our bodily functions to our personal circumstances, family, job, house, and the country we live in. I realize there are more things to be grateful for than you and I could ever count. That's Basru Miyom, Leyom Yeshuasa. That's the obligation to thank Hashem every single day. Why do we read this on Shabbos? We read this on Shabbos because the week is a rat race. The week we're running, we're always on the move, we can't stop for a minute. Shabbos is a day where we pull ourselves back and we're able to introspect and we're able to reflect and we're able to look around at the world around us and say that 100 blessings a day doesn't even scratch the surface of all the myriad, millions of things that you and I have to be thankful for to Hashem. Everyone have a wonderful week.